as it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.
So you had Billionaire Betsy. I love the Billionaire Betsy stories because it just shows how completely and totally out of touch this woman is and has no business whatsoever being the Secretary of Education. Anyway, she was at Crazy PAC, I mean the Conservative Political Action Conference, and I guess she was trying to make a funny. You know, the conservative faithful wanted to be entertained, so she cracked something along the lines that she is, quote, perhaps the first person to tell Bernie Sanders to his face there's no such thing as a free lunch. And while I do find it humorous that a birth lottery winner is going to be preaching about free lunches, I find it disturbing as all can be that she's the head of our education system. And here to talk a little bit about the idea of, you know, the people who are getting free lunches, not really so much a free lunch. I've asked Melissa Marini-Sfagel to come talk with us. She is a teacher in the Cleveland area, also one of our badass teachers. Melissa, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So you've got Billionaire Betsy entertaining the Crazy PAC people, you know, mocking poor people. Are we surprised?
Oh, not at all. No, I think you summed it up pretty well in your introduction there. A billionaire who has really bought her way into the Secretary of Education position without any qualifications to speak for.
Now, you know, as a kid growing up in the projects back in the 70s, and I went through this, I remember being one of those kids. We used to put them in separate lines so everyone could mock and make fun of them and point their finger at them. What we did back then is, you know, we kind of did that, and then we took it all away during the 80s because I remember Ronald Reagan, Mr. Ketchup is a Vegetable, basically eviscerating these programs. And now we're back to what seems like beating poor people up again.
Exactly. It's exactly what it seems like. The program did actually expand in 1998, but I don't think the numbers would surprise you that over 100,000 public schools and not-for-profit private schools or residential child care institutions in the United States are beneficiaries of a federally assisted meal program in their schools. And it was even expanded to include snacks. And we also have breakfast programs in Cleveland because there's such a dire need.
And about time. I mean, I've seen other districts around the country who do that. And it seems, to me, as a kid growing up back when I did, it seemed sane and rational back then that everybody should get it, not just pick and choose based on ability to pay an income, but that all kids should get it. And it should just be one of those things as a matter of course.
Absolutely. And in Cleveland in particular, because there was such a huge need, it did become part of our universal program. So it is for everyone. It's 100% all kids get free lunch, breakfast, snack, whatever is being served at that particular school. So you are absolutely correct in your vision.
So, but here's the thing, and why this is such a big deal in my view is at the end of the day, and I think that you would be the one to tell us more than anyone, that if kids are coming to school hungry, if their stomach's rumbling, they're not learning. There's nothing going between the ears then.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the essence of the article that you referenced. When students show up to school hungry, and if they've, over their lifetime, either had lack of access to adequate healthy food or just lack of access to nutrition and food in general, then there are lifelong impacts on their brain development, their function, and that's just one factor of a large variety of different factors that contribute to their ability or lack of ability to be able to be successful in the classroom.
Yeah, you said healthy food there for a second. I go back to, you know, Michelle Obama and her attempt to make school lunches healthier, and the right wing just mocking her incessantly. And at the end of the day, you go, I grew up in that environment. I didn't know what a vegetable was until probably I was in my 20s, let alone when I was a kid, because we couldn't afford it. So this idea that, you know, healthy food being available to kids in the school, just to me, again, seems kind of like a no-brainer and not something we should mock somebody for trying to do.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they'll mock anybody for anything without any kind of heart or conscience about it, unfortunately. But you're absolutely correct. There are huge problems with food deserts in urban areas, where even if they have assistance to purchase food, the places that they have access to purchase that food are not necessarily offering healthy options. And then, of course, I don't, you know, we have to save it for another show, but the whole Monsanto and these large agriculture corporations that have taken over our politics and FDA. And so sometimes the food that's even presented as healthy is toxic because of all the pesticides and the red dye 40 and all these other toxins that are allowed in our country, but not in other developed industrialized nations.
Yeah, in fact, one of my listeners just sent me a one of these infographs that highlighted what you just said. I think he said something like 90% of the supermarket products that we buy, you know, not the produce and but the stuff in the aisles, 90% of it are just made by 10 companies, and now evidently it's gone down to 9 as Heinz and Kraft Food have merged.
Wow, yeah.
So I mean, it's getting even scarier.
Another battle.
And it is. It's a constant battle, and it's happening all around us. And the schools and our kids seem to be, you know, right in front of this, which is why I think it's so important that we talk about this, and why, from a teacher's perspective, that you think, you know, it's important to talk about free lunches and why we need to have them, and why we need to have better nutrition in schools.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So just speaking from a point of poverty and academic achievement, when you're talking about a lack of access to food, or we call food insecurity, in addition to all of the other stresses and anxieties that come along with poverty, and often those include because of their environment, trauma, witnessing violence, those sort of things, then you end up with their memory and concentration and their ability to learn being impacted, as well as a huge achievement gap between affluent peers and those that do not have access to all the resources and benefits that wealth can bring, or even middle class, you know, at times can bring. So in the classroom, you have a much higher chance of students having disabilities or needing individual education plans, students with special needs, and it's a huge spectrum of impact. So, because sometimes, you know, just biologically, if this is intergenerational, then biologically, you're already worn down through your epigenetics. So, impacts everyone in poverty in some sort of way, definitely, and then just the amount of the impact is contingent upon a lot of other factors. So if we can, in just one small way, try to help out at the school level, because, I mean, wraparound services with access to mental and physical health care on school campus would also be an incredible help, but if the smallest way we can contribute is through food and access to food and reducing that food insecurity, then, I mean, we absolutely should and can. And, you know, it's tragic that we live in this country and there's such great wealth disparity. And so for someone to mock it is really inexcusable. But for everyone that's supporting free lunches and access to food and nutrition for children, then, you know, right on. Absolutely. Thank you, Rick Smith.
Yeah, and not so much billionaire Betsy, but here's the thing, you know, childhood poverty in this country is an epidemic in my view. It's one of those things that we haven't really moved the needle all that much in the last 30, 40 years. In fact, I would argue some of the policies that our lawmakers pursue, like, you know, Ronald Reagan and his ketchup is a vegetable, literally taking food out of the mouths of children.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely correct, right. And that whole demonizing during the Reagan years, too, of people on public assistance and using things like what we call now the SNAP program or food stamps back in the day. I mean, the demonizing of people that are in those circumstances instead of presenting the totality of the picture and our history of racism in our country and all kinds of other factors. But I think that also still contributes and lingers today with how we view whether or not we should help our fellow citizens. I mean, I don't understand in our country why so many people are so against helping out their fellow Americans.
Because we're living in the Hunger Games, Melissa. Hooray for me and the heck with everybody else. And, you know, I've got to kill you in order for me to survive.
So unfortunate. Very unfortunate. But I do sort of feel like it's part of some grand design because it seems to be benefiting the ones at the very top the most. And they don't seem to be hurt by these Hunger Games the way all of us in the 90% or 99% are.
Yeah, because billionaire Betsy's kids didn't go to that public school that has a free lunch program. You know, billionaire Betsy and Donald Trump's kids and the wealth class of this country, they've opted out of public education completely. They get the best. They get small class sizes, no standardized tests, lots of experiential learning, and gourmet meals, not crap that's wrapped in a plastic bag. For the rest of us, well, not so much. Large classrooms, high stakes, standardized tests, and, well, you know, a Twinkie or two.
Absolutely. You hit it. You nailed it.
So how do we change that?
Well, we keep fighting. We keep fighting for public education, and we keep, you know, resisting. We educate, we agitate, we resist, you know, we keep going, you know, fighting for what's going to benefit all of us instead of just listening to the ones at the very top and letting them dictate the narrative about this capitalist heaven that we're supposedly living in right now that the rest of us don't really feel so much.
The invisible hand will take care of you, Melissa. The invisible hand.
I'm not feeling it yet.
Maybe you're just not in the right areas, because I'm told the invisible hand is wonderful. A lot we believe in a lot of invisible things. But if you want to take a look at the article, My Students Pay Every Day for Their Free Lunches, written by Melissa Marini-Svagel-Smith, we've got a link at therickSmithShow.com. Last line of questioning I've got for you. In looking at this, you know, obviously you got into teaching because you wanted to help. And did you think you'd become this kind of activist, kind of fighting these political battles? Because this really is a political battle. Is this what you signed up for when you became a teacher?
I absolutely did not. No, I was very young and naive and thought I was just going to go and teach and care and love children, you know, on their way to success. So it was rather shocking to me when I found myself in the middle of these political sort of crises created by legislators that were funded by big donors that had absolutely no concern for children at all or what's best for them, but only have sort of interests in their own political or corporate needs. So yeah, it's rather shocking, but I definitely take this attack on public education as an attack on our democracy, as an attack on our children, and as an attack on women, because we are over 75% of the population, and the poor, you know, great men folk with us, you know, got sucked into it also. But we definitely appreciate allies like yourself getting the message out there that our public schools are under attack and need defended. So I appreciate it so much. Thank you, Rick.
I appreciate you taking time for us and sharing your article, and we'll make sure that folks get an opportunity to read it. Melissa, I appreciate the time.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Great talking with you. Thanks so much. Again, if you want to take a look at the article, My Students Pay Every Day for Their Free Lunch, we'll get a link at therickSmithShow.com. Just click on Melissa's name. Take you right there. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Red roses too. I see them blue.
Yes, it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.